blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 215, stanzas 1 and 6. O come, my people, to my law, attentively give ear, with willing heart and teachable, the words of wisdom hear. 1 and 6 of Psalter 215.
Scripture reading for this afternoon will be from the Ephesians chapter 6, the first 9 verses. But first we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Thus far the reading of God's holy word.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we may hear out of thy holy word and what it means to live a blessed life. Thou teachest us how to live a life that is without sin, a life that is in complete submission to Thee, who art our Maker, who art our Creator. And Thou indeed didst set before us such an example of a perfect life. And when Thou wast here upon this world, even when thou wast as a little child, as subject to thy mother and to thy earthly father here below, and to all that were set above thee, even though thou art above all, a God of all, maker of all, O Lord, what an example thou hast set unto us. Oh, give us eyes to see, and give us ears to hear, give us hearts to understand and to desire, that we might be freed from all our iniquity, and that we may desire to live according to thy holy commandments in perfection. Oh, that we may look forward to a life in eternity, and wherein there is no sin, not the least defilement, not in our heart to desire a freedom which is no freedom, a slavery, a bondage, or that thou may give to us new hearts of flesh, that we may walk in all thy ways with gladness and with desire and with contentment, and with thy blessing. And thou didst not only set before us an example, but thou didst pay therewith the price for your disobedience of thy church. For, O Lord, who can put our hand this day into our own bosom and take it out clean when it is set before us, the perfection of thy holy law. O Lord, and thy servant did say, I am black. O look not upon me, because I am black. The sun hath looked upon me. O Lord, thou knowest each one of us, in our heart, in our mouth, in our words, in our tongue, and also in our deeds, and all the fountain that it proceeds from. Oh, that wretched and that miserable disposition, that heart that has followed the devil and that desires still to follow him in our ignorance, but also in our rebellion. Oh, Lord, we need to be forgiven. We need to be washed. We need to be cleansed. And we have but one hope and one expectation, that thou wouldst receive on our behalf all that great payment, the passive as we have heard it in the weeks that have gone by, but also that active obedience wherein thou hast been so willing to bring thyself to this world and to set thyself under that holy law, whereof thou art thyself the lawgiver, and thou didst place thyself under it, that thou mightest perfectly fulfill it, for the sake of thy church who is not able to do so. O Lord, give that those that do mourn for their own sin may have a little eye to behold thee, and that which thou hast accomplished for them. Oh, could it be, Lord, that it is sanctified, that it is blessed, that it is applied also unto us, because we need to be hidden in that rock. Oh, we need to be found in that Savior, in that Mediator, who is able to stand in the breach, who is able to stand in the judgment, and to answer for us in that day when we will not have one answer to 1,000 questions. Oh, give to us desires each and every day to walk in obedience to thee and to all whom thou hast set above us. Oh, to that end do remember our government. Give them also that wisdom and the tender fear of thy name. O Lord, and on our side it seems so impossible. Oh, we have departed so far from thee, and the knowledge of thee has fallen in the streets, in the days wherein we live, in the countries wherein we may live, and wherein we are blessed with all thy providences, but also thy holy word which has come unto us already as nations for so many years. And yet we have turned so openly our backs upon thee, oh, so worthy to be cut off and to be cast away from thee, and to never receive the least notice or attention of thee. Wilt thou look upon us yet in thy mercy, oh, that thou mayst spread abroad thy healing wings over us. Oh, turn us again, Lord, as thou alone art able to do, and work in the hearts of our rulers, oh, that they might acknowledge the true and the living God, and that they may also make laws that are according to thy holy and revealed will, oh, that they may enforce also the laws according to judgment, that they may punish the evildoer, that they may reward the well-doer, and that so men may learn obedience, not only to men, but also unto God. Remember in the same way our parents, those that bring up their children. Oh, may it be thy children. Oh, could it be also for thee? Oh, may it be also those who are the extension of the arm of our parents, our teachers, our instructors in our own schools, whom the parents do hire to instruct and to guide their children upon their pathway to eternity. O Lord, give them the tender fear of thy most holy name, and give unto them that ability and that grace in their heart, the tender fear of thy name, as they stand so many hours in front of our children to set before them an example, and that they may be given to speak words that may come to the ears and they may enter the hearts, not only in the practical things, but also out of thy holy word. Lord, remember us as a consistory. Give us also wisdom, and that we might know how to wield that ecclesiastical authority that thou layest upon our shoulders in all truth and faithfulness to thee, and for the welfare of the congregation over which thou hast made us overseers. Look upon him that hopes to be installed in that office in the coming Sabbath day. O give to him in this week a place of blessed humiliation and reverence before thee, a holy awe, and could it be a preparation to once again join us, and that he may be for the congregation a blessing. Lord, that thou may remember our children and our youth. Oh, thou knowest that they are our children, they are our grandchildren, and it is thus that they are brought forth with evil hearts. Oh, they are brought forth conceived and born in sin. Oh, they need to be converted. They need to be instructed. Oh, they need to be led. Oh, that thou wouldst do so, and that thou wouldst use every one of us as means in thy hands for their welfare, for their instruction, for the building up of thy church. Remember all the congregation. We think in a special way of the afflicted and the sick ones, those that receive treatments, those that are still in the womb. Lord, care for each one. Look upon the widows of the congregation when so many ailments do oppress their physical bodies, deafness, blindness. Oh Lord, then they can be more and more, according to this world, in such a place of loneliness. Oh, that thou may visit them with thy spirit, and that thou mayest be near unto them. Could it be as a friend that sticketh closer than a brother? Look upon our denomination. Remember the synod that hopes to meet in the fall, and all the committees that do labor in the midst of the church for the welfare of our denomination, for the poor in the world, that thy word may also be printed and go forth, and that the education of our children and our schools may be continuing. Lord, remember all that are oppressed, all that are afflicted. Remember all that are abused. Remember all that are handicapped. Those also that suffer from addictions, wayward children. Oh, look upon us all in all the needs and the cares of this life, and that our souls, as we travel to meet thee, may be prepared by thee. Care for us in this afternoon hour. Help us to speak a fitting word out of thy holy word, and that which our forefathers have given unto us. O Lord, could it be and that thy word may be quick and powerful, that it may receive a place in this afternoon of freedom to go forth and to enter into our hearts, glorifying thy name, magnifying all thy word and works, and blessing our poor and needy souls for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 322, stanzas 1 through 4. How shall the young direct their way? What light shall be their perfect guide? Thy word, O Lord, will safely lead, if in its wisdom they confide. 1 through 4 of Psalter 322. beloved congregation, the prophet Samuel said to King Saul, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. What is rebellion? That is the defiance of authority. How is it, as he says, as the sin of witchcraft? Well, he says it is of the devil. The first sins in heaven and upon the earth have manifested themselves in the acts of rebellion, that is, refusal to be governed. What was the temptation? Ye shall be as gods. What is more provoking unto God than that the crown of his creation, the highest element of his creation, man, created in his image, had no desire anymore to fulfill the command of God and to walk according to his law. So, young people, you hear in our days of artificial intelligence, robotics, and what is the fear? Is the fear of mankind? Well, that is that there could come a time that these machines with an intelligence that is artificial could rebel, that they would not do anymore our will. A man does not want to lose his control that he thinks that he has over everything that is in the world. Why the fear? Man knows deep down what has happened in paradise. Man knows deep down that he himself has rebelled against his very maker, against his very creator. Our fall, it was an act of rebellion. And that we remain in the state of death of the fall means that we remain in an act of rebellion. What is now salvation? What does it mean to be delivered from the fall? That is to be brought again under authority. It is to be brought again under government. That is with our body. That is with our soul. Do you think so too? Do you desire so also? There is nothing so good as when a man can fall in his will under God. As when a creature of God is able truly by the grace of God to say, thy will, O Lord, be done. In such moments, because they are sometimes in the life of God's people just moments, but now in such moments, all the rebellion, all that is fighting against the Lord, that is so completely taken away out of the heart of a man. And then we cease to serve ourselves. And we cease to serve the devil. And we begin a blessed service of God. We wish to consider something of this with you this afternoon from Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 39, which speaks about God's law, the fifth commandment concerning government. The fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, which is explained by our forefathers in question and answer 104. What doth God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. So for our Lord's Day. God's law, the fifth commandment concerning government. First, the origin of government. Second, the administration of government. And thirdly, submission to government. First, the origin of. Second, the administration of. And third, the submission to government. Congregation, with the fifth commandment, we are brought to the second table this day of the law of God. And that law of God informs us of two relations, that we have a relation to God and that we have a relation to men. Thus, in the first table of the law and in the second table of the law. Thus, we are not created in isolation. No, the law informs us that there are others and that are around us. And to all of those others, that is to God in the first place, but also to all the others around us, each and every one of us has obligations. So God has created us as social creatures. And the Lord forbids us to hide ourselves, the Word of God says, from thine own flesh. So who is thine own flesh? That is, you say, that begins with those who are immediately next to us. That is our own flesh. And thus, if you look next to you, you have children, your brother or your sister or your father or your mother. But our own flesh doesn't consist only in those who are next to us. They consist also of those who are in front of us and those who are behind us. Thus, those also who are not our direct relatives, but they are our flesh, they are our blood, they are in that human nature along with us. And though, and thus the Lord says we may not hide ourselves, because we are dependent creatures in the first place upon God. But the Lord is using men also so that we may be an help to one another, especially after the fall, when there are so many miseries to be endured in this life. Thus the duties of the second table are laid upon us by God. And the duties of those second table are fulfilled. And when they are fulfilled in obligation not merely to our neighbor, but they are fulfilled in obligation to God. Thus, the Lord says that second table of the law is like unto the first table. How is it like unto, say, the governor, the lawgiver of those two tables is the same. The spirituality of that second table is also the same as the spirituality of that first table. The necessity of obliging ourselves, that is also the same in those two tables. The punishment that will come upon our disobedience, those things make these two tables the same. They go together. Obedience to that second table of the law is worship. Is worship. That is how a man worships whom? He worships God. Why? Because God is that lawgiver that is manifesting our love to Him and manifesting our love to our own flesh. Because He is the creator of every other person that is like unto us in this world. And the transgression of that second table of the law is rebellion against God. It is provoking the wrath of God. It is moving God to bring punishments upon men. Thus, that second table of the law is manifesting to us our social duties. And that is beginning now with that fifth commandment of the law concerning submission. Submission to authority, submission to government. And this is now standing at the very outset of all of the rest of the commandments in that second table of the law, each of which is being regulated in the will of God by men here below, being regulated by an earthly, a carnal government. I do not say that word in a negative way, but just simply carnal, meaning belonging to the things that are of this earth. Thus, before that the Lord is revealing His will concerning all of our social obligations, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, before the Lord is revealing each and every one of these social obligations, He is first setting forth the manner of the administration of that law. How that is to be conducted here in this world. Thus, before that the Lord is giving to us His particular commandments, then He says first this, that everyone shall submit to the offices that He has instituted in order that these laws may be propagated and in order that His laws may be enforced in the midst of this world. So we would say, children, young people, like somewhat of an introduction. And before that we begin, then the Lord says we must first draw your attention to the fact that these laws that I am going to tell you how you must live with one another, They are to be enforced by men. They are to be enforced by people that are in this world. And you are to acknowledge this method of government which I have instituted, and how that I am going to govern my church and the whole world for the sake of my church, while I am in heaven and while my church is here below. Thus, there are different theories in the world. You probably learn a little about that, young people, in school. Different theories in this world about the origin of government. You say, well, where does government come from? Where did government actually begin? And then there are people who say it is actually what they call a social contract. It is a contract between people. And in that social contract, not literally that anyone has actually made such a contract and signed such a contract, but essentially that is what is happening in the world over these many years, that people have seen it is best, if we want order in the world, that there would be certain people that would be set up and given certain powers, and we must now, each of us, relinquish some of the freedoms which we have, and we will submit ourselves to these persons that we all agree they will have certain powers over us, and we just have to obey them for the sake of order, and that we are able to live in peace and in harmony in this world. That is a theory. And it is a very popular theory. It is, congregation, false. And it is also refutable. Because there is not one single person that lives in this world that has not entered the world already under government. And not only so, but there is no nation, if you will look at all the nations in the world, that would tolerate any single individual deciding to do otherwise. Deciding that he wants to be a rebel. No, government did not begin by some kind of an agreement, some kind of a contract with between men, that they have decided that they are going to give up part of their liberties and their freedoms. That is a theory which is godless. That is a theory which disregards God altogether. That is a theory which disregards the facts, the fact that everyone is born already with a sense of morality when he is coming into this world. That is a theory which says actually people, governments, are the ones who make right and wrong. Oh, God is on the outside of that theory. Government, according to those persons, actually is nothing more than a practical necessity. It is just something we need to bear with. It is something that restrains all of our natural rights that we are born with, just for the sake of avoiding evils that are greater than giving up some of our rights and some of our freedoms. It is a theory which does not believe that authority and government are good and right in and of themselves. That government is a good thing? No. Government originates with God. God is the absolute authority over His creation. It is God who is pleased to govern men by men in the midst of this world, and the original form is found in the parental authority that is revealed to us in the fifth commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother. And that commandment is now the pattern which the Lord is giving to His church in this world. Where can you find a more tender hand to wield the rod of correction upon a child than his own loving mother and father? Where can you find it? Where can you find a hand which would be restrained from severity by a heart that is weeping over his own guilt and over the guilt of his own child, and that is looking for the absolute welfare of his own seed? Thus it is this fundamental germ of government that is beginning in that parental authority that the Lord is also now extending. He is extending that authority also in a civil way in the world and in an ecclesiastical way. So we find King Joash calling Elisha my father, the prophet of the Lord. Elisha did the same when he called Elijah. He says, my father. And then their students, we would say the students of the theological school. What were they called? They were called the sons of the prophets. Then we read that the Lord calls magistrates in this world gods. Asaph says, he judgeth among the gods. The Lord said to Moses, see, I have made thee a god unto Pharaoh. Thus that word god is referring to a magistrate in this world. And the Lord makes him as it were a god to him. That is, he is setting Pharaoh under the authority of Moses. Asaph says, lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck, because promotion cometh not from the north, or from the east, or the west, or the south, he says, but God is the judge. He putteth down one, and he setteth up another. And then he is empowering such a person with authority. And not only so, but he is binding on those same persons obligations. They are duties. We see them in our second thought, the administration of government. There are many people in this world who are intoxicated with the desire for power. But I will ask the parents here, if you have married with a thought in your heart that I want to do this to have power. Because if I marry and I have children, then I have power over my children. I think there is not a single one of you that has had such a foolish thought in his heart. Because our parents have not married in order to get power. But in your marriage, you have found yourself in a place of authority. And you have found yourself in a place where you have duties, obligations, to exercise that authority in that specific place that the Lord has given unto you. If there is any man in whom we may detect a desire for power, he should not be placed in an office. Why is that? Well, you say that is, as it were, the recipe, that is the harbinger of abuse. But parents, teachers, office bearers, magistrates, governors, even employers, they are all placed in a position, in a certain position in this world of authority, and every single one of them has duties before God. Those duties are laid upon us by God himself, not by men, not even by the men who have perhaps in circumstances voted in order that a person may receive a certain office. That election is only a means in the hand of the Lord that he may put down one and that he may set up another. And therefore, the accountability of every single person who is in a position of authority in this world, the accountability is not unto men in the first place, although even men can be used by God to watch over the limits, the bounds of a person's authority. And yet, in the end, everyone that is in that place of authority has his accountability only ultimately to God himself. The centurion, he says, I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. That is the one thing that everyone who has soldiers under him, who has men under him, that's every office bearer, every parent, every magistrate, that is the one thing that he needs to feel. That he needs to understand that not only does he have soldiers under him, but that he is himself under authority. And that he must give account for the authority that he is given by God when he has to lay down that position, that office, whatever that it may be, and to answer unto God how he has now done his administration of that authority. So Pharaoh was called into account by God, and he had to answer for the severity with which he has wielded that rod that the Lord has given into his hand. Eli was brought into account before God, into judgment, and he had to answer for his laxity when he has distributed justice among his children and also within that house of God. Ahab had to answer for the injustice with which he has wielded his power of authority. Herod had to give an account for the cruelty with which he has wielded his God-given power. Honor thy father and thy mother. Say that is for a child, that is for a subject. Wait a moment, because then we see, because we just read Ephesians chapter 6, and that does not speak only about children, but it speaks about fathers, and not only about servants, but it speaks about masters. Thus, this obligation, this duty, we say that is reciprocal, that has two sides. And now not only must there be honor given to, but now the Lord says those who are in authority are called to be honorable. Then it is love that is standing at the foundation of this honorableness. But what does the Bible say? Bible says that love is going to wax cold. That is, in the end of time, we see that happening, that love is waxing cold. And when that love waxes cold, what is going to now happen to government? What is going to happen to authority? You know that David, we read, he did not displease his son Adonijah at any time. Was that good for Adonijah, children, young people? You see what he did in his life. And that is why his other son, Solomon, he says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. Oh, fathers and mothers. So how do we do this? That is not easy. That is not easy. Or in the first place, be gentle. Be gentle. You know who this is? This is a soul. This is a child. This is a young person. It's tender. It may not always seem that way, but he is tender. So we say in the first place, be gentle. But gentleness is not laxity. Then you also have to be firm. Then it must be not the will of the child, but it must be your own will. Discipline, we say as little as possible. But as much as is necessary. Not just as little as possible, but as much also as is necessary. Because you cannot lose them, Because of your own laxity, the Lord says you have a duty, you have an obligation, as difficult sometimes as that obligation is. And that is now the pattern. The Lord is setting that pattern already in the childhood, in the youth. That is now the pattern for all human authority that has to be administered in the midst of this world. It is a pattern that is lying at the base, and lying at the base of that pattern is a tender affection. And so Paul also says that to Timothy, he says, rebuke with all authority. It is necessary, it is an obligation. And when that obligation is withheld, then there is only one thing that we can expect, and that is that the duty that is from the other side, submission, that is not going to result. Let us sing a moment. 223. Where'er his creatures gather, the unseen God is near. Let rulers fear their ruler, their judge, let judges fear. 1, 2, and 3 of 223. the origin of government, the administration of government. Third, the submission to government. What doth God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction, with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Congregation, man wants to be free. But we, by nature, do not know what freedom is. Maybe you want to be free too, young people. You say, I want to be free from the government that is at home because it is too restrictive or it is too this and too that. Adam wanted to be free, but he was deceived and he became enslaved. That is the slavery that all his children have become enslaved in. And that is also you, and that is also me. By nature, we think that freedom is the privilege that we are permitted to do anything that we want. The congregation, our very nature, our very fallen nature is bound. Our very fallen nature is in the slavery of sin. Oh, did you ever feel your need to be under government? Did you ever say with Jeremiah, O Lord, correct me, but not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing? Solomon says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Are you a scorner who hates those that rebuke him? Or are you a wise man who loves one who rebukes you? Children, boys and girls, it says, our fathers say that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother. That is now the beginning of obedience to God. So it begins where? It begins already in your home. It begins when you are a little child. Honor, love, and fidelity. Honor. So what is that? Let me say respect. Do you have respect for your father? Do you have respect for your mother? Where does that respect begin? That respect begins in us already, before anything comes out. What do you think of your father? What do you think of your mother? And when your mouth opens, what are the words that come out of your lips, made by God, to your father or to your mother? Do you speak to them with respect? Do you speak to them with reverence? That is what the Lord commands of you. And how is it, fathers and mothers? Do you require that? Or do you not require it? Do you just overlook it? You may not do that because now you instruct your child and you say to them, that is okay. When you speak to me like that, who am your father, who am your mother, and it is not okay. Because so will they speak to their teacher. So will they speak to the magistrate. And so that highest authority himself will receive disrespect and irreverence within the hearts of our children. honor, love. I think you all love your father and your mother, right, children, young people? But do you show it sometimes, young people? Maybe you could say that sometime. Your father and mother, I think, say that to you sometime, right? I love you. Maybe you could say that sometime. Also, what lives in your heart to your father and your mother. Fidelity. What is fidelity? That is faithfulness. That is when your father and your mother are not looking, that you are true. You are true to your father, that you are true to your mother. Or do you, maybe when you are at your friend, with your friends, you say things you should not say because, well, I am with them. Do you know what Solomon says? The eye that mocketh at his father and that refuseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. There is a severe threat, boys and girls, young people. That is the other side of that blessed promise that the Lord is speaking of in his holy word. Young people, 40 years ago, I was a teacher in our school here for a few years. And there are teachers now still teaching that I have taught with. And you know, they say to me, they say, it's different. It's different than it was years ago when you were here. I say, why is that different? They say there is a certain attitude. The attitude is different. Oh, young people, is that not awful? Is that not actually very sinful? Is that not actually a disgrace? I hope that that is never to be said by a child or a young person from the Fort McLeod congregation. Actually, I cannot imagine it. I have never had it with you young people. In catechism classes, that has always been a pleasure. And so really, I cannot imagine it from you. But do you know what the Bible says? In the last days, perilous times are coming. Perilous times. And all kinds of awful things are going to happen in this world. And you know what is one of those things? That is that children are going to disobey their parents. That is what it says in the Bible. Of the perilous times that are coming in the last days, there's going to be disobedient children. Look around us in the world and see what is happening. See all of the turmoil that is in the world. See all of the civil unrest that is in the world and that is destroying the society, government in the world that is being despised. But now the question, is that coming in our own school? Is that coming in our own school? Oh, I hope that it will always be said that the children and the young people from the Fort McLeod congregation are obedient young people. I hope, young people, that will always be said. The Bible, Solomon, he says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. He says, a good name is better than precious ointment. It is your name. It is not only your name. It is your father and mother's name. It is the name of the church. It is above all the name of the Lord that is at stake. When there is attitude, when there is disrespect from children unto their superiors, that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, at school, at church, and later on, it will be the magistrate. Thus, that education that is happening in that home and that is happening at our school, that is the education for life. Solomon says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That is not specific for every case, but that is now general. Government, civil government, must be obeyed. Not because there is an enforcement officer. That is not why it must be obeyed. It must be obeyed because God says that it must be obeyed. The Apostle Paul says, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit, he says, yourselves. Even wicked office bearers must be distinguished from their office. We do not obey because of that person. No, we obey because of that office that that person has been placed into, and because he has been placed there by God himself. Oh, it is a great blot on the name of the Lord when a man who is professing the Christian religion, that he needs an officer to enforce upon him, to force him to obey the law. Oh, we should be ashamed at this. Christ subjected himself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. That was for his Father's sake. That was in his active obedience to give an example and also to pay a price. Thus, we hear of the guilt that is in it. When we disobey, it is a great testament to the honor of the Lord. When the world says of a Christian people, that is a people you don't need to watch. You don't need to watch them. You only need to make the law and they follow it. That is a people that fear God. Peter says, let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. He speaks about those who despise government. Presumptuous, he says, are they. Self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels, which are greater in might and power, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. That doesn't mean we may not speak to our authorities. No, we must speak to them. We have a duty. But that civil disobedience, oh congregation, we see it. We see it in our own denomination. Persons believing and thinking with the world that civil disobedience is lawful, that it is moral. It is immoral. It is against the word of God. There is only one time you may disobey. No, it is the time you must disobey. That is the time when you are specifically commanded in a sin of commission or omission to do something against that moral law of God. And you not may, but you must disobey. Or then you must remonstrate. Then you must speak. Well, Daniel and his three friends, they disobeyed. They would not bow to an idol, because it was against the law of God. You know what was not against the law of God? To die. Thus, what did they submit to? They submitted to the punishment. That is what we must do. Even when it is unjust. Because that congregation is not sinful. It's not just because a government is godless. It's because the thing that he tells us to do is godless. This, what the apostle has spoken of concerning obedience and submission to government was said in a time of evil and wicked governments. They are they to whom they were saying that we must obey. Indeed, there does come a time, or there can come a time, when those who are governed may righteously overthrow their oppressive government that is not because we have been personally wronged, but that is only when in a general way there is an outcry from the people against the oppression of the government. The Lord says we must submit to government, but the people themselves, they may set up, as it were, that government over them. Then we have a duty also to make our voices known, especially when we can in our day, to speak to government officials and to remonstrate against the evil and the sin against the Word of God. Thus far we may have a religious liberty, but we see the clouds, don't we? We see those clouds gathering on every side, and we do not know the time that religious liberty is going to be taken away from us. May the Lord spare us and our children from it. Apostle says, pray for all those that are in authority, that you may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and in all honesty, that I shall show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. There is no government that is without weakness, that is without infirmity. That is not a civil government. There is not an ecclesiastical government. There is not a paternal government that is without these weaknesses. Even Christ submitted himself to Mary, his mother, and to Joseph. That was a child that was of sinless perfection. And he has submitted himself to a government that could only be full of sin and of shortcomings, because Mary was not a sinless woman. But congregation, it is he, it is God himself, who is the governor, and he is without weakness, and he is without infirmity. And thus, everything that he is doing, we read in God's word, that is in the way of his providences, he is making all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And that is why he says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thus he adds a promise to his command. Paul calls it the first commandment with promise. That's not in a general way, because the other commandments, they had a reward attached to them as well. But this one in a very specific way. And why are promises added to commands? Why do your parents do that, boys and girls? You say, there is something now to lure you, right? And now, is the Lord not good that he does not only demand, but that he also, he would, as it were, lure us into this blessed obedience, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. A nation that walks in obedience and in order is a nation that endures. But the rebellious citizens of a nation destroy that nation. You say that promise is not just national. No, that promise is here especially directed to children. To children. Because children are at the root. That is the root. And that is why the Lord also, when he speaks about government and authority, he begins there. And there, when he is just beginning, then he is going to show to children that there is a connection. That there is a connection between an effect and a cause. That they always go together. And now the Lord connects these two things. That is a long life. He says that will be the effect. And what will be the cause? He says that will be obedience. That is now a lesson. And you will learn that when you are young, that will profit you with wisdom your whole life long. And that has not just to do with a long life, no. But the Lord is speaking about prosperity. The Lord is saying actually in general that the Lord will give his blessing. That is not particular again. No, that is general. Sometimes the Lord is taking away children. And he has his own purposes for that. But congregation in general, then the Lord says that walking in such a way of order and submission that is bringing the blessing of the Lord, this patient bearing with weakness and frailty under authority. And then the apostle says, not only to the kind and gentle authority, but also to the froward. Not always easy, is it? When you have some authorities that are not so easy on those that are their subjects. But now that is, as it were, a training school. A training in submission. In submission to whom? He says, submission to authority. Yes, submission to him. Whatever those circumstances are. Bible, we even read about slaves. And the apostle sent him back to his master because it is the Lord, he says, that brought him in this way. Now, if it is the Lord that will release him from that, then he is released. And if not, then he is called to submit not unto men in the first place, but unto God. And now God is giving profit. Profit under it. Oh, what is it? It is the profit of bowing under Him. It is the profit of worshiping. To just worship God. And the soul, that soul that may do so, all that there is great profit for such a soul in the obedience to father and to mother and to all that are in authority over me. What is it? It says, a long life. Yes, actually, it is an eternal life. An eternal life of what? Of submission. Of submission. Of deliverance from slavery. It is the slavery, it is the bondage of sin. And then to be brought into that blessed obedience with great delight, that freedom of obedience to the holy law of God, with nothing in my soul or body that is rebelling against God, and so to come in that blessed way of sanctification to that perfect life forever and forever in submission to Him. That is the eternal freedom. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, show it unto our souls. Give us a desire that we might know what that blessed liberty is. Oh, to be delivered from the bondage of sin and to be brought with great delight and willingness under thy will in everything. Oh, Lord, could it please thee to give us a little taste of it, that it might be honey on the end of the rod, and that we may so delight in it that we may say continually, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Teach us all, O Lord, on our short journey between the cradle and the grave. Bring us safely home. Give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. Help us in the week to come. Spare from a sudden and from an unprepared death. Remember those that travel. Spare us, each one for one another. Magnify thy name in our hearts. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalter 2, 1 through 5. Blessed is he who loves God's precepts, who from sin restrains his feet. He who will not stand with sinners. He who shuns the scorner's seat. 1 through 5 of Psalter 2.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.